Please stand as we sing our gospel hymn together. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You are. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 4, reading from verse 4. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no buckets, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, What do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please, would you like to sit down? That story of Jesus meeting the woman from Samaria at the well is really well known. It's a story about encounter and conversion. Jesus was able to change that woman's life, transforming a damaging past into a promising future. It's a really moving and an inspiring story. But there are some puzzling things about John's account of this meeting. First thing, how did John know to include this story when he wrote this gospel? Because in that conversation at the well, there's only two people. There's just Jesus and the woman. But there's a little verse in brackets, verse 8, that tells us that Jesus' disciples had gone into the nearby town to buy food. So they clearly weren't there when Jesus had this conversation with this unfamiliar woman. And indeed, if the disciples had been there, they may well have prevented Jesus from having anything to do with that woman at all, given her social standings and the religious conventions of the time. But thankfully, the disciples weren't there, so the encounter can take place. Jesus is free to become radically generous with his time and his words. So where did John, the gospel writer, get his detailed account about the conversation between the woman and Jesus? Did it maybe come from Jesus himself? Or on their return from the town where they'd gone, did the disciples get from Jesus a blow-by-blow account of what happened in the conversation with this feisty and quite articulate woman? Or was it the woman who later on told her story to John so that he could write it down for future generations, including us, to hear, read, and learn from? We'll never know. But if it was from Jesus, then presumably he told his disciples about what happened in such great detail because it was important so they could learn from it. And if it was from the woman, then it's because her encounter with Jesus had such a powerful and transforming effect on her life that she couldn't help but share it and all who would listen to her story, as we see at the end of that passage. So let's look at her story in a little bit more detail. The setting is clear. Jesus and his disciples have left Jerusalem and the southern region of Judea, and they're going to in a northward direction to Galilee. They're going back to Jesus' home territory, where the majority of his ministry is going to take place. And their journey takes them through Samaria, and the people who lived there, called the Samaritans, were a mixed blood race due to intermarriage between Jews and Gentiles. And this led to great hostility between Samaritans and those who considered themselves to be pure Jews. And it was a hostility which continued to endure in Jesus' time. So eating and drinking together wasn't something you did. Beliefs and practices in worship were quite different, as we learn from John's account. And it's probably around the middle of the day, and Jesus is tired and he's thirsty, so he stops at the well. And when a woman approaches to draw water, he asks her for a drink. And at first glance, there might appear nothing unusual in this. It's just a casual request for a drink. But Jesus, as a Jewish rabbi, is stepping way outside the social and cultural norms of the time. He's interacting with a woman alone, which is just something that wouldn't happen. And just by being there, and simply by talking with this woman, Jesus is risking a potential scandal for himself and the woman. The disciples' reaction on their return show just how shocked they were at this sight. She's from Samaria. It wasn't considered appropriate or even safe to engage in this sort of conversation. And according to Jewish law, accepting a drink from the woman would risk ritual contamination for a faithful Jewish man. And thirdly, she was a woman of perhaps a doubtful reputation. The normal time for women to fetch water from the well was probably in the early morning or the evening, rather than in the heat of the day. So perhaps this woman comes at a time when she's least likely to meet anyone, or at least anyone who knows her and is going to start gossiping about her. But of course, Jesus knows all this, and he continues to engage the woman in conversation. And it's quite a friendly exchange between the two of them, but there's a double meaning to it. It's a technique that Jesus uses quite often in some of the conversations that we read about in John's Gospel. Nicodemus and that confusing exchange about being born again is just one example. And very often Jesus is talking at some kind of a heavenly level about spiritual truths. And of course the people that he's talking to are at an earthly level. And that's where they're listening, thinking only in literal terms concerning the words that Jesus is saying to them. So this conversation with the woman about a drink of water becomes something of a game of wordplay between these two. She'd be quite shocked, probably really confused about being addressed directly by this man. And this woman
of course, doesn't realize at the time that Jesus is talking about a completely different kind of refreshment that he's prepared to offer her. It's more than just a drink of water. He's offering her living water, fresh running water that flows freely. It constantly refreshes itself like a spring or a river. And the image of water points to the spiritual renewal that comes with the Holy Spirit of God living within us. And so the woman is drawn in by these words of Jesus, and she wants to know quite a bit more. She's not really certain at this point exactly what Jesus is on about, but maybe she's attracted by the promise of never having to make that tiresome journey in the heat of the day up to the well time and time again. And at that point, Jesus puts his finger gently but firmly on some of the problems in that woman's life. There's perhaps her marital status and the nature of her relationships with others. We don't know why she had that seemingly chaotic string of different relationships. And we don't know how much she was or wasn't responsible for the situations that she was in herself. But Jesus actually wants to help her to deal with her past, leave the mess behind, and move on to a promising future. And that same offer that Jesus gives to the woman beside the well is given to us as well. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, that same water that will refresh and cleanse us. And if we're going to receive that properly, then we've got to flush out from ourselves the stale and stagnant water. And the season of Lent offers us just such an opportunity to reflect on those attitudes and behaviors that get in the way of our relationship with God and one another. And the woman then goes on, when she's confronted by Jesus, to try and change the subject. And as is often the case today, the best subject for distracting attention from morality is to start talking about religion instead. So she launches into a debate with Jesus about where the right place to worship is. But God's offer of a new kind of life for all who give up the stagnant water and come for the living water is absolute. And you can't get out of this one simply by trying to ask questions about where the true holy mountain is or which church is the right one to worship in. Jesus' response to the woman suggests that from now on, holy mountains don't really matter very much. Holy mountains and holy buildings are at best signposts to God. However magnificent the mountain or however beautiful the church, if they are an end in themselves and fail to point people to Jesus, then they're just becoming like idols, diverting our attentions away from God. The woman makes one last attempt to counter this intriguing man at the well and put an end to the conversation, not realizing that this is going to leave Jesus with the final definitive word. Well, one day she says the Messiah is going to come back and he's going to make everything clear. Why don't we wait till then? And Jesus simply takes advantage. That Messiah that you're waiting for, he says, is me. Jesus is the final definitive word. And he continues to say that he is that final definitive word in our own age today. The former Bishop of Durham, the theologian Tom Wright, puts it like this. Whenever people come round to the key questions and say, if only someone would come and sort it out, then there Jesus is. That's me, waiting to do what he does best. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we can learn from this conversation that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman at the well. Help us to continue to use this season of Lent to get rid of the stagnant water from our own lives, to be refreshed by the cleansing, living stream that comes from you. May we be filled afresh each day with the living water of your most powerful Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.